Right, welcome everybody to another episode of Chris and Dave's Reality TV Cast. I'm one of your hosts, Chris, and my co-host, a very good friend, is Dave.
Hey there, Chris, and hello to all listeners out there. Welcome to Chris and Dave's Reality TV Cast. We are covering Married at First Sight UK Season 8, Episodes 29 through to 32, Chris. Now, Chris, where would you like to start today?
I'm going to throw out a statement, Dave, a random statement about maths. And I've called them out from the start, how manipulative the producers have been, how hands-on they've been, how obvious that these things have been faked. But I'm pretty sure that the only two people I'm pulling for at the moment are George and Paul, because the rest of them are a bunch of see you next Tuesdays, Dave. I absolutely cannot stand half these people. But, however, let's start with what was a shock, Dave. I've got to say, an absolute shock. My stonewall penalty, as you would say in football, couple who were going to win it, going to stay together, Ros and Thomas. Now, I was not expecting how this went for these two this week at all.
No, it just seemed to come from nowhere, really, didn't it? And you could see from the homestay first off that Ros just wasn't really interested in Thomas anymore. And she's already, before she'd spoken to her sister, she's already coming out with the excuses. It's like, oh, I don't know, you know, I'm going to have room for him in my life and this, that, and the other. And it pissed me off, if I'm honest, Chris. I was pulling for this couple as well. But I can't, when she was saying that to the camera, I'm thinking, the fuck are you doing on the show then?
Yeah,
you know, if you think your life is so busy that you don't have room for anyone else, fuck off the show, you know, and it got worse, to be honest, from there.
Yeah, it did. It was weird because once you saw a sister and a niece and all that, and then, I mean, I didn't think it was much, to be honest. She was like, oh, I'm just totally ignoring something. I'm like, well, you haven't seen your family for God knows how long. You've been cooped up with the same guy, same production people, telling where you can go, where you can eat. You just get what a bit of normality. And Ros, I thought, oh, you know, I honestly thought these two, they got over everything. We had the whole egg incident at the dinner party the other day, which, you know, was quite good. And they looked like physically they were on the same page as well as, like, you know, emotionally. So I was pulling from things. And this just, and I do think, you know, I'm all for be honest and think what you, you know, say what you think. You know, it's almost like Roy Walker would say, Dave, say what you see. You know, like that sort of thing. You know what I mean? But I think that the way she delivered it to Thomas was just destroying. And by the end of the week, when she said, like, I don't want children with him, I don't know why I'm saying it. You know what? Don't open your mouth. Just say that he's not the right person for you, because that poor guy looked absolutely demoralized.
Yeah. I mean, I got a bit pissed off in that moment, and I have to say, Chris, at Ros. I mean, I think it's absolutely fair enough. If you, basically, it was a holiday romance for her, wasn't it? That's all it was, you know, a bit of fun, go on Married at First Sight. Oh, I love that show. You know, go and meet someone, see how it goes. And then, you know, she gets back and she just feels different. And sometimes, you know, your logical brain is one thing, but then sometimes you can just feel differently in a different environment. So that is all fine. And you could see that it weighed very heavily on her. But then I thought when they finally got through to the commitment ceremony and she said, like, you know, she definitely does want children, but just not with him. I thought, you fucking evil person. What a horrible, horrible thing to say. There is absolutely zero reason to stick the knife in and give it a good old twist there. You know, I thought, yeah, I thought it was horrible, Chris. I thought there was no need for it. Thomas, you know, was obviously, he was all in by this point. You know, he'd been a bit of a slow burn, hadn't he, at the start, didn't want to hug a stranger and all of that. But you could tell he was in. You know, and he was willing to kind of go the extra mile for her and stuff. And, yeah, I just thought it was completely unnecessary to stick the boot in like that.
I do. And what pisses me off, Dave, you know I'm gunning for these experts. It's when they're sympathetic to Ros. And she's got to tell the truth. There is no point being in a relationship. I get that. You can be towards Ros and you can be and say, I'm, you know, we're glad that you've came to this conclusion and you've not, you know, got to the point afterwards where you've moved in together or whatever. I don't believe any of these fuckers are going to be together now anyway, completely. These are the only ones that I thought had a chance. So I'm not believing anyone. But in the context of the show, let's go along with it. They just don't hold her accountable for a delivery at all. They do not. And she's not the only one. It's fucking bullshit, this show. These people who they know they can have a good pushback on for various reasons, and these other contestants who get a free fucking ride in this for the way they are. Their bad behaviour goes unpunished, and that's what I have a massive problem with. And even Mel's annoying me more than Paul. It's more than Mel. No matter what anybody does, she goes, "Oh, that's great, Dad. Yeah, they're really expressing themselves." Fuck off, you absolute character. She's playing a character. She's not being a true self. Honestly, this week's been a farce for them.
And it gets worse, Chris, because actually, yes. I mean, moving on a bit from Roz and Thomas, what about Matt and Adrian? Oh, right, you've got Adrian, definitely doesn't want a kid. Maybe might open the door if she meets the right person. Matt definitely does want kids. I would think, Chris, even in your application, if there was like a 2-page questionnaire, do you want kids? Has to be on page 1 or fucking 2. But it's definitely on there. Oh, it's a fucking great idea, experts. Let's put these two people together who blatantly are on different pages. And so it's not fair to either person, you know. And I think from Adrian's point, you know, she shouldn't be pressured into having kids if she doesn't want them. But, you know, in saying that, oh, well, I might do in the future. Well, what's she going to do? Like hang around for 5 years. Now, if you decide no, well, it's his fault. You know, he's not good enough, you know, for her to make that choice. So I just think that for me is the one that winds me up the most. And actually, maybe at the end of the series, Chris, I was thinking about this morning, maybe we'll have a little game and we'll do our own matching. Because like someone like Adrian clearly would go better with George. You know, George says now he wants kids, but I think he's just saying anything to Goodside, and we'll get to that, I'm sure. Fucking Adrian and George would have surely made a far better couple.
Yeah.
But, just atrocious from the experts again.
Oh, I'm with you. And also, Dave, what a segue. Peggy and George, the homestay. Now, Peggy is a fucking pampered princess, Dave. I'm going to quote myself because I put this in the chat, so forgive me anybody who's in the Facebook chat. Peggy's the type of person who, when it's thunder and lightning, has to get in the middle of a bed between a mum and a dad. She is a fucking joke, Dave. She has had it handed to her on a silver spoon, and her dad, the fucking Cockney wide boy, oi, oi, bosh, bosh, bosh. Don't give a fuck, mate. You look dodgy as anything, but you are slagging George off because he's a gamer. I'm a gamer. George should never, ever give up the fact that he likes gaming. You should never change yourself for people. You should compromise. I can't sit gaming for 24 hours a day. You know what I mean? Sam would have something to say. However, if I want a game, I have my own little room. I'll go and do an hour gaming or whatever. And it pisses me off, Dave, because George is not the only one in this experiment. But everything was on Peggy's terms. Everything's to do with her. A mum is not a nice person. I don't know who the expert is. Basically, Peggy doesn't want to work. She wants to do fuck all on toast. And she wants to sit there all day in her fucking Barbie pajamas, cuddling fucking teddies while her husband goes out and gives her the $3,000 a month fucking allowance. What a joke of a person. And the contestants and the experts, the producers, are a bunch of fucking bellends on this show, Dave. She's horrible. And George needs to get the fuck out of there and carry on doing fucking squats in a thong or with no fucking thong on at all. I don't give a fuck. But I am Team George now, Dave. She's a dick.
And what a turnaround, because, you know, we were completely the other way, weren't we? You know, on the first episode that we met, kind of Peggy and George, we were completely in Peggy's corner, and, like, George was an absolute bellend. But, you know, I do think that, you know, he must be, what, 30-ish? And I couldn't actually tell how he planned to make money in this world, you know. So maybe you could sort that out. I don't think, you know, getting a few batons by doing squats online, I don't think that's going to quite cut it. But, yeah, definitely with you. Definitely more so in George's corner. I found that whole homestay just really weird, Chris. And I was trying to figure out, do you think, like, the mum probably doesn't work, Is that, do we think that? Well, it's like this manor house. And I was like, what? Because it's not like old money. It's not like Thomas or, you know, some kind of Chelsea wide boy or something. You know, there was no class about it. It was just like, are you a fucking gangster or something? Are you or an old publican, maybe, or something like that? Maybe a builder, you know, maybe made a few quid on property. I couldn't tell, really. But, yeah, just Peggy's like fucking 32, and
she's
fucking run. Yeah, well, yeah.
Sorry about so that. She's about 40. So fuck off. Nonsense.
Well, she's north of 30.
Yeah. Like,
but, you know, still, like, the room, it's like decked out. Like you say, it's not quite got Barbie all over the place, but it wasn't far off. And so, yeah, I think George should run a fucking mile, to be honest.
A mile, Dave, to get his fucking gazelles on and get the fuck out of Dodge. I just, what annoys me is George is not innocent. We know some of the things. I mean, now that we know his character and what he's going through, the sort of, he's wrong, but the joke about, oh, like, has she got any cannons and that, is becoming more and more funny the more I think about it, because she's just a joke, Peggy. She's living in a fantasy world. And again, what annoys me is when she's in that group setting and she's not the only one, it's like that he is terrible towards me. Again, it's absolute nonsense with the fucking experts. They have to be able to see the context of what's going on in the background. They have to pan to him when we're at Peggy's house and everything. You can't just take a random chat where Peggy's going to come in at the dinner party and slag George off, and they're going to go, oh, that's terrible. And George doesn't give a fuck because he's happy. He's not really that bothered. But he seems to be the one, again, he's another one who is having to change himself. He's having to completely compromise. I mean, that bullshit, when Mel asked it, he went, yeah, Peggy's number one in gaming's bottom. And I'm like, no, mate, it's fucking not. Get your control back.
Why did he say that?
Absolutely just playing to the crowd there. Honestly, I was like, George, please be quiet, mate. You're absolute clown. Because in 2 months when you're not even together, why have you said all that things? You are going to cringe like mad.
Yeah, I was really disappointed that he said that. I mean, it's okay to be into gaming and stuff, or whatever the fuck you're into. And by defining something, you know, so he said that Peggy's number one. Okay, you don't have to go and say, like, gaming is bottom. You know, everything else that is not number one comes second to your number one, doesn't it? So I just thought it was a weird thing to go out there. And, you know, I really hope he doesn't sort of compromise that far. Because there is no compromise, is there? There's no compromise from Peggy's side whatsoever.
No.
He's not compromised on anything other than, you know, her parents think George is a bit of a dick and, like, won't. Oh, Chris, you know what winds me up more than anything? And we've seen this before. I can't think where, though. It might have been The Bachelor or Bachelorette or something. But it's about providing for my daughter so she can live the life that she's accustomed to.
She's a lazy cow. Yeah, that's the one, Dave. Yeah.
Yeah. So basically, you know, can have a bunch of cash and like do fuck all, you know. And I'm like, fuck off. And again, George, just run for the hills.
Yeah, just go, just leg it. But Dave, I think it got worse. The episodes were going on. I was like, so it's funny. We could move on now to Paul and Tasha, right? Now, I feel for Tasha in the respect of Paul's mum, no matter who he gets with, she is not, nobody's going to be good enough for a son. You can clearly see that. You know, they went to his house. But again, Tasha acting really childish. She wouldn't stay at the house. I'm not well. We could see through that completely. Yeah, he's in the gym though, Dave. I mean, she comes in her active wear. He's like pretending to punch a punch bag, which he's obviously never thrown a punch in his life on, Dave. Let's be honest. But you can clearly see that's been reshot because Tasha's eyes were full of tears and they were puffed up already, so they'd had to reshoot that bit again. And it just didn't feel authentic. It was towie levels of, I couldn't get hold of her, she didn't want to be there. I do understand it because I can see with Paul's mum, she's going to make sure that Paul stays with them forever and Tasha. And Tasha's like, I'm not doing that. I'm independent. There is nothing wrong with that. She's allowed to feel that way. She's allowed to say, no, we are a couple. We should be together. But then as the week went on, she was just having these childish outbursts. Arthur got it. I'm not saying Arthur didn't deserve a little bit of it, but it just she just flips, doesn't she, and turns on a dime, and it's all got to be on her terms. And I'm not sticking up for purely for the guys. I'm not. So far, it feels like I'm not. I'm just calling out the bad behaviour. Paul's a nice guy. And other than the comment, I thought that was a bad comment he said to his friend about called her a small girl, a little girl. That was a bad choice of word, Dave. And that's what kicked the whole thing off. I thought that was pretty poor and tasteless to say that, especially in front of her as well. But it doesn't take much for Tasha to then react to that. And it takes her a long time to come back down. She does apologise, but I just think she has a lot of growing up to do for Tasha, I think.
Yeah. I think, Chris, I mean, quite often in these shows when we're watching them, I feel like we give the guys a bit of a harder time than the girls, just as a general rule. You know, you'll never get over the fact that that's how we see the world because we are guys. However, I do think that most of the women on this show are terrible. You roll through them. Like Tasha, I think her thing about, you know, oh, well, you know, we're just a bit fiery, or, you know, Paul, he's never been in a relationship, so he doesn't know what it's like. It's like, no, don't fucking put it onto him. We've seen what it's like. It's not acceptable to just go screaming in someone's face. So, Tasha, I think, is an absolute bell end. I think Peggy's a bell end. I think Erica's a bell end. not that the guys aren't as well, but it just seems like the casting for this season, you know, has managed to pick some fucking terrible choices. Still love the season, of course, but I just think it's calling out the bad behavior, but fucking hell, there's a lot, isn't there, in this season?
Yeah, there is. And I think one of the ones that's disappointing, one of the couples as well, Dave, is Laura and Arthur. Is Laura came in like Morag from the UK one a couple of seasons ago. She had a fucking list and she had an ideal guy and it wasn't what she ordered and she was very stuck up and they put with Arthur. I mean, I still think it's an absolute maths classic when he said, I love you, because he was reading that script off the internet when he just met her. That is fucking brilliant. But we haven't seen the Arthur that Laura is telling us about, that our friends went on at. He's back down on everything, and the fucking experts do not call Laura out at all. They just say stuff like, oh, it's great to see you vulnerable, Laura. And I'm not saying she isn't, because from where she is at the start of the experiment to now, I sort of warmed to her quite a lot, because the barriers dropped, the posh stuck-upness that she was trying to put on. She seemed okay. They seemed happy together. And it seems we wonder with other people that there is a problem with Arthur. But again, it's all Arthur's fault, Dave. Now, I will say in the dinner party, you can see he thinks he's a bit of a joker, Dave. And his jokes do not land. And I can understand that would be annoying if you're with someone who's constantly throwing jokes out there. But there was a couple of one-liners about, you should have gone with his person. He's like, well, it's time, yeah. You know, for Snog Mary, I think Tasha said it, didn't she? Snog Mary. I get what he's saying. He was cracking jokes. But with Laura, there's a lot of meaning behind them jokes. He's not allowed to tell a joke, is he? So her friends are horrible. I don't like the fact that Arthur has had to completely back down and apologize to every single person, even the fucking experts, because they don't see what's going on. They just see dinner party and then they get the commitment ceremony. So they go off that. So it looks like Arthur's mistreating her, and he may have been, Dave. We've not seen it. It was only in this last episode this week that there was a little bit, and I thought, hang on a minute, I can sort of see why she's getting annoyed at him. But for me, I still don't understand why he's completely backed down and accepted everything. Every fault in their relationship is his fault, and it's not. It's simply not. Laura wants to be a fucking wannabe. She's on a show. And when he said he'd gone on a date 2 weeks before, I'm not saying I like her, but I was pissing myself because I'm thinking, well, it's fake, Laura. You know it's fake. You're only on here for the clout. You're only on here for the fucking followers on Instagram, TikTok, whatever deal you can get, you're on there for. If you'd have done it 2 weeks before, it wouldn't even be an issue. But because it's more leverage against Arthur and it's a storyline, they're running with it. And to be fair, Dave, what did you think? Because they're not officially married. You might have known he's going into the experiment, but Arthur doesn't come across as a fucking Harrison on Australia where he was dating up to literally the night before. I don't... nowhere as sick with it, but it wasn't as bad as what she was playing it out for me.
No, I think, again, I just hope Arthur runs for the fucking hills. What I don't like about their relationship is whenever Laura had come under attack from the group, Arthur was always in her corner. He was always arguing with the group and, you know, almost to the point of isolating himself and, you know, backing Laura up. She's not backed him up once, but she feels like she's, I think her words were something like, I'm always having to defend my husband. It's like, where? When did that happen? Was that off camera? Because you'd not really said a lot. You know, she said a couple of things, you know, when her friends were fucking launching at Arthur about what an arsehole he was. So she wasn't really massively defending him. She was just sat there while her friends shots at Arthur. I think Arthur, you've seen him shrink, and all of the mistimed, ill-judged kind of one-liners that came out, I just kind of wanted to say, Arthur, mate, just stop.
Be quiet.
Just keep it stum for the minute. You've pissed off enough people. Stop trying to be funny. It's just not quite the right atmosphere. But, you know, whatever he said, it was like he just dropped the massive, smelliest fart in the world, you know, if you looked at Laura's face. So, yeah, I just think she was looking for an apology from him for that whole interaction with her friends, whereas I think he could have expected an apology as well. But, you know, he was ready to apologize. But she's like, well, where's my... He was ready to apologize to the friends, but she wanted an apology for her. I'm like, oh, what the fuck? Get over yourself. You know what I mean? Are you even thinking about Arthur's position at all as well? You know, and how he must have felt like in that situation. So she wasn't. So I think, again, it's another relationship that won't go anywhere, and rightly so, I think.
Yeah, and I agree, because when she said the comments of the group, what do you all think about? And I'm just like, and I was like, well, you're not the same person at the fucking hen do. You'd only just met her. She's going to be playing a character. Yeah. Then, you know, it's just like, oh, unbelievable, fucking deluded. And another couple day. Let's just have a go at all of them today. Another couple, Jordan and Erica. Fuck me, does she love the smell of her own farts, Dave. Jesus.
She does.
She's gone worse and worse for me. I was sort of team Jordan Eric because this has gone on. Jordan, he verbalises everything and he says it down the middle. He's not got things right all the time. He hasn't. But I don't know what she wants. And this is another couple that when it's just them two, they're fine. You get Erica in a group setting and my gosh, does she change, and it's all Jordan's fault. And again, it feels like I'm defending all the guys, but it's the bad behavior. And I just don't understand Erica at all. She wants to argue with people. She wants to be the center of attention and they are going nowhere.
Yeah. Do you know what I think? I've said about Erica in the past and the fucking hand gestures and everything. And it's all just me, isn't it? Everything. But did you not think that, like, Jordan, I mean, it came across a little bit clingy, I think, you know, and they're talking about after the experiment. Mind you, I guess, you know, sometimes you're damned if you do, damned if you don't, aren't you? Because Arthur, you know, through not thinking about exactly what they were going to do and cohabitate with Laura or whatever, that was the biggest crime on the planet. But, you know, the fact that Jordan wants to, Erica's like, well, you know, should we try this long distance thing first? I think Jordan's not reading the fact that Erica is just a massive fucking wannabe. This has been a convenient little journey here, but it's a stepping stone to more Instagram followers. So, you know, whereas he's like ready to fucking shack up and everything, isn't he? So I don't know. It just felt to me like he came across a bit needy. And I know he's talked about like the OCD and stuff. I don't know. I don't know if that's healthy, how needy he was being.
You know what? That's a good point. I will cut her a bit of slack because I do think you're right. I think, like, he says about his OCD and everything and his reliance on her. So maybe that's one of the reasons why she's had enough. She's just like, she can move. She doesn't feel she can breathe in the relationship. But either way, they're not the right people for each other, are they? Let's be honest. Another one. I mean, the success rate's getting even worse than fucking Love Island on this show, this series, Dave. Fucking hell. At least with Love Island, there's still a couple of them together. On this, there's going to be nobody. And the final couple, Dave, Ella and JJ. After all the palaver with Nathaniel and what was the girl called who JJ pissed about on, Dave?
Was it Bianca?
Bianca. And now there is trouble in paradise. I am supposed to act shocked, and I'm going to go, oh, I cannot believe it. It's absolute bollocks. I mean, Ella, I don't know. I mean, the problem is, obviously, she just wants to be accepted. She just wants to be loved, doesn't she? And she goes back the wrong way. JJ then reveals this secret, which I find very weird. Not secret, but she reveals this thing that she likes to go out and have a drink. We've not seen any of this in the show, but all of a sudden there's an issue. But the way the show's shot, they've only been together for literally nothing. You said it in the last episode, like, oh, they went off and you know, tried to see if there's something there. What, for 2 hours in a fucking Burger King or something? So, oh, hang on, right, we're back in. It's bullshit. They shoot this over
in the fucking green room.
Yeah, in the green room. Oh, yeah, there's definitely a connection. Yeah, no problem. So JJ's saying, like, she likes a drink. She acknowledges some of the things she says to him outright when she's had a drink. But we've all done that. We've had a drink, Dave. You say stuff wrong. But I think then that vulnerability side of Ella comes out and she dyes her hair brown, you know, she because he likes brunettes. She changes her whole look because she just wants to be accepted. And I don't know, Dave, I just think the signals coming from both of them and various other things in this relationship is just another red flag. These are not going to be together at all.
No, and to be fair, I thought JJ, when he was with Bianca, came across as, like, you know, a bit self-centered, and I don't know. If Ella has got this sort of drinking problem, it sounds like the problem is not that she not likes to drink, it's that she's a nasty drunk.
Yes,
That's the problem.
Yeah.
You know, he seems to deal with it kind of okay. I mean, so early in the relationship, you'd have to think, well, fucking Ella, in a normal situation, we'd be like, fuck this. You know, after a week or so, you'd be like, right, I'm off. Because you haven't got so far into the relationship where, you know, you've got those feelings and you don't want to kind of break up with someone when they have this kind of nasty drunk side to them. But it's like, yeah, but I really like being on TV.
Yes.
But so I will come a little bit of slack, but I don't think his reasoning for being so chill about it are quite so virtuous. But yeah, it's weird. I mean, I can't help but feel like she's got a bit of a favorable edit there. You know, she does have this kind of nasty drunk side to her. We've never seen any of that at all. And you could tell that, like, the way Ella was dressing, like before, earlier in the season, she practically got her boobs out, you know, just, you know, all on show and everything. Whereas, you know, when JJ broke this thing about the drunken side and whatever, she's dressed like a fucking, practically a Vestal Virgin or something. You know, the clothing just changed a lot because she knew that was going to come out probably. And so, I don't know, Chris. The thing I'd say is there was a lot of accusations of producer meddling and stuff like that, and like these two were always going to get together. But you're like, well, if that was the case, they wouldn't finish the story like this, would they?
Yeah. I know. But Dave, it's difficult with Ella because she's got so much, you know, her mental health, everything, all the things she's gone through. But I just think for her, less is more sometimes, you know, like just don't have to, you know, share so much of your life and everything. I don't know. There's just something off with her to me. And I think her and JJ are just not right. I sort of feel as if Ella has just purely done this for the fame. Dave, if I'm being honest. She's not the only one, because pretty much all of them are. But I think with Ella, it's becoming more apparent that the fake, oh my God, you know, we've come back in, you know, oh, what a surprise. What you left the show for 2 episodes. Fucking great. We knew this was going to happen. And I have just read somewhere, actually, Paul apparently, Dave, has come out saying that he needs to do better, the show, Dave. He needs to do better. He's put, I'm going to read a tweet. He said, I read nearly all your comments. Take notes on areas you need to improve and share them with the production as well as the channel. That said, I believe the show strikes a balance Maths UK delivers more relationship than any other dating love show, and our viewership continues to rise. There are many people that make the decisions. We all don't agree. That's all I have to say on this matter. Dave, I think you need to have a little word with him on Twitter again.
Well, he's right, isn't he? They need to do fucking better, that's for sure.
It needs to be more real. It needs to be more real. And the problem is, it's like, you know, Your Mum, My Dad has now been commissioned for a second series. We just covered that. You know full well that that is going to be full of even more influencers, chances, absolute fake ones. How does the show carry on in that innocence of it all? Even with the parents, it doesn't. Yeah. It doesn't. The first series is going to be lightning in a bottle, whether you liked it or not. I personally thought it's a great show and it's a great reality TV release. This new series is going to be a farce because they're all going to know what to do, what is at stake. ITV, 2 weeks, you are at 9 o'clock, which is the absolute prime time. You would be stupid not to go in there and try and make some of yourself to get some money. Yeah. That is a massive opportunity for that, even more than Love Island. That's an ITV2. ITV1 is the premium channel with the BBC, with BBC One. So it's just, you can tell it's a license to print money, and that's what's going to happen. And with this now in Maths, it's just become so fake, and nobody's really been held accountable for anything. And the producers are just ruining it for me. If it is the producers, that which I think it is, they're just ruining it, completely ruining it. They're allowing bad behaviour and allowing just, they're just insulting our intelligence as the audience, unfortunately.
Still good, though, isn't it?
Oh, it's great. Yeah, it's great. Yeah, absolutely great. I think it was with her mum and dad. I was like, right, there's plenty of notes for me anyway. But yeah, I agree. I'll still watch it. But I think if we're just bordering on that, right, okay. Because the same DNA that's happened across Australia and Love Island and vice versa has crept into both of them. So you can see what's going to happen. A couple are going to come in. You know, the intruder couples, as they call them, whatever. You know, this is going to happen. Someone's going to split up and go with someone else in another relationship. It's all happened again that we saw in the Aussie ones over the last two series. So,
I think that's part of the problem, isn't it? Because we watched the Aussie one as well, as I know a lot of our followers and stuff do, you see the same storylines repeated.
Yes.
And you're like, okay, if this was just a random throwing together of people, you know, who are supposedly scientifically matched together, then you wouldn't get the exact same things happening. But there are. So I agree that there does seem this sort of manipulation about it. But just how much it is, I don't know. But I just think that when it's so obvious, like the Matt and Aiden thing, where one party really wants kids, one doesn't really want kids. It's like, well, at least fucking pretend that there's some science involved. At least pretend that you've got a fucking questionnaire or something. And someone said, you know, this is my position on kids. Kind of a fucking big deal, really. So, I don't know. I think this has not been the best season for the experts, has it? You know, and I think when I first started watching this franchise, I think, you know, I did think there was some kind of science or some kind of logic, at least in it, in the matching, you know, but the more we watch, the more it's obvious there's not.
No, there is nothing, Dave, nothing. It's just purely entertainment now. But we're going into the last week. So we've got last two, the commitment ceremonies, that is Monday, Tuesday, and then we've got the actual reunions Wednesday, Thursday of next week. So it is concluding as well. So that's right. That we've covered up to 32 so far. So this will be up to episode 36, which is normally our Maths runs. So we've both said as well, we will have a think about what we're going to do next as well, because obviously we're going up to Christmas. And it won't be a daily, not daily podcast, Dave. I won't do that to you. But no, I do think that it hasn't been as good as what we've seen previously. The Aussie one for me is a pinnacle, but I think even the last UK one was a lot more real in parts, even if some of it was ridiculous. But yeah, I did enjoy that more. So let's see. Anything else, Dave, before we go?
No, that's it. I think we've sufficiently slated everyone.
as everyone would expect us to, Dave. That's exactly what we're here for.
No, absolutely.
Brilliant. So honestly, guys, thank you as always. A massive thank you to all of you for supporting us. Please get over to Facebook, Chris and Dave's Reality TV Cast. Come and join us over there. Go to email us, cdrealitycast@gmail.com. If you want to follow us on social media, @cdrealitycast. And as always, if you do want to support us, please get over to patreon.com/CVRealityCast. So the roll call of honor is, and a massive thank you to Kent Gustafson, Lucky Lulu Green, Lauren Hennessy, Susan Dee Dee, Katie Libby, Joanna, Noreen Chloe, Helen Keith, Gillian Zoe, Maggie Kate, Megan, Cassie Fiona, Emma Nicklin, Helen Larissa, Amanda Kim, Caroline Danielle, Nick, and two new Patreons. And thank you for joining us, guys. We have a big thanks to Andrea and Sims as well, have joined Dave. So that list is getting even bigger. So thank you so much for everyone who supports us and for everyone past and present who's been a Patreon. We really appreciate it.
That is fantastic, absolutely. And we'll probably have a cheeky little Patreon episode as well. There's so much reality TV going on at the minute, Chris, but after several years of breaking our own rules and running different seasons and then wanted to kill each other as we're doing it as well, we finally learned that they're just running one season and then we'll have a little taste of reality TV shows that are going on. So I'm sure we'll do that over the next couple of weeks as well. But thank you very much, sir. It's been good group therapy again to talk through all this stuff with you. Like I say, 1 week left of this, and I sort of can't wait to see the kind of outcome. I want to have the where are they now.
Oh, don't you worry well. About that. Yeah, I've got the article. I'm not ready. I've got the article ready, Dave. Don't you worry about
that. Nice. Well, thank you very much, sir. Thanks to all our listeners out there. Thanks to all our supporters. And we'll speak to you next time.
Bye.